Would you join me, please, in a word of prayer? Father God, I invite you into this place, into our very hearts at this time. Just say you are welcome here. And not just welcome, Lord, you are needed here. So would you prepare us? Would you prepare our hearts so that they would be good soil and they would hear your words through my words? And that those words would take root in there. So we would carry them with us when we leave this place. And they would take root and grow and change us and mold us more and more into the image of your Son. In His name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to, this is kind of weird, welcome to week 2, part 1 of our new series. The new series is called Four Seasons, where we are talking about seasons of our lives. Because, well, there's different seasons in the world around us, and we know that there are things that are appropriate for particular seasons. Don't go to a ski resort in the summer because they're going to be closed. Don't plant in the fall because that's when it's time to reap. We recognize that in the world around us, but we forget that so often in our lives. So often we run into problems by looking forward to the next season and not living in the season where we are, looking back at seasons and being nostalgic and not taking advantage of the things that we're supposed to be doing in our particular season. The entire series is really built off of the Ecclesiastes verse, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." And when he writes that, he does mean every matter under heaven. If you read the rest of the verse, he doesn't leave too much to the imagination. He says a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time refrain from embracing. And you're like, okay, Solomon, I got it. There's a lot of times for a lot of different things. And he says, oh wait, there's more. A time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And he probably could go on even more than that. But at this point, I think we all do get that picture. The trick, I think, a lot of times is recognizing where we are. What is the season? What is appropriate for that season? And then leaning into that. And that's a little easier said than done. Last week was part 2 where we talked to millennials. And I flipped it around because, it was LEST. And I thought, what sense does it make to talk to the kids who aren't here? So that's why we're flipped around. That's why we're reversed. So this is going to be really for kids, for youth today. Although, like so many things, you know, I've heard more than once that sometimes people get more out of the children's message than the pastor's message. I get that. I'll wear that. That's all right. So this is, you're in luck if that's you. This is kind of an extended children's message. And we'll have, I think, something that is going to apply to each and every one of us. This will be a little more participatory. You're invited to say, you know, just holler stuff out at times because that's what kids do, right? The answer won't always be Jesus. But we'll try this on for size. So the first question I kind of wanted to start with is, does anybody recognize what this is? Label maker, yes. I had that up there just in case. You know, we just put that up. I didn't know if we'd get the answer. And if you're thinking, well, that's not fair to just write the answer. That's a really big clue. But reading is an advantage in life. And I thought that does make it fair. So if you can read, then that makes it, that kind of evens it all out. Yeah, it's a label maker. It's a label maker. And those things are good for all kinds of different things. But I was thinking, what if we all wore labels? What if we walked around and we had labels on us? Would that make life easier? Well, maybe. Maybe, right? Like, if you needed homework or needed help with your homework, Are you going to ask this guy? Absolutely. You want your math checked? Go consult this person. That's who you're going to talk to. If you have a secret and you're not sure if you should share that with somebody, are you going to share it with this person? Not unless you want everybody to know your secret, right? If you forgot your lunch money, and you're like, oh man, do I just have to go without anything today? Here's one you want to buddy up to. This is a person you want to find and say, hey, because they might not even ask. You could not only borrow money for lunch, you might not even have to pay them back. Now, for this person, are you going to put your hands near their mouth? Right? If you're wearing a shirt like this, this is your label, and you know you actually bite somebody, it's their fault. The label, you know, you should have read the label on them. But we don't. Of course, we don't walk around with labels on us. Not like that. That would be kind of weird. So I have a question for you, though. Another question. You can just think about this for just a second, because you know, sometimes you just blurt stuff out. Let me ask you, who has the right to label a thing? I have three different answers for you. But who is able to label a thing? I noticed when the kids were up here, Maddie, would you mind holding your shoe up just so we could see it there? Do you see what the little blue star is? What's that say? Converse. Who put that on there? The manufacturer, right? They have the right to label a thing because they made it, by golly. You go out there and every single car has some kind of label on it saying, we made this. Ford, Mercedes, whatever. We made this vehicle. Clothes all over the place. And they have the right to do that. I take off the, if you buy something at a dealer and they put their little advertisement on the license plate, they're not paying me to go advertise for them. They didn't make it, so I take that thing off because they don't have the right to do that. There's a second type of person who has the right to label something, and that is the owner, right? That makes sense. That makes sense. So if I was, for example, if I had my fancy label maker and I was to go over to your house, because you invite pastors over, you should invite pastors over. But if I was to go over to your house and then I was to start to label things, that'd be kind of Sheldon Cooper-y, right? That'd be kind of weird. That if I just go and type, you know, fill out a thing that says dog and I put it on your dog. And then I put something on bedroom for your bedroom door. I walk in there and say underwear drawer. Right? That would be weird, even if I was right. Even if I was right, it wouldn't be right because I don't have the right because I'm not the owner of those things. Whether or not that is a dog that I labeled, whether or not that is your underwear drawer that I labeled, that's not the point. The point is, I don't have the right to label those things because I'm not the owner. Now, if I wanted to have the right to do it, how could I do that? Buy it, right? And that would be the third thing. If I was to buy your dog, you want to sell me? I don't want your dog. I'll just say that right now. I got enough dog. I don't want to buy anybody's dog. But if I were to buy something of yours, then I could label it, and I would have the right to label it. But I think that's really the only way that I could do that. So there we got our three things. If you're the manufacturer, if you're the owner, or if you want to become the owner, if you're the buyer, then you have the right to label something. So I have another question for you. This one, just kind of think on for a minute. No answer. We'll come back to this. But just think about this. Who has the right to label you? Who has the right, not just to label a thing, who has the right to label you? When I was in ninth grade, played football. And in Colorado, it's junior high goes like 7, 8, 9, but we were shipped off. We got on a bus and went to the high school. There was like a freshman kind of team. And my freshman ninth grade football coach, the line coach, I was on the offensive line, he was one of these guys, they don't exist anymore, right? They're the old-fashioned kind of really grumpy, yell at you, like spitting in your face, grabbing your face mask, and, you know, they'd run you till you died, that kind of stuff. They're the caricatures. Nobody does this anymore because you get in trouble acting like this. But this guy, his name is Leo DeRocher. It's like he's made to just be that kind of hard-nosed coach. And one time we were off, not even on the JV field. This is like, it might as well just be a parking lot, you know. You didn't get the nice varsity field. You didn't even get the JV field. We got the crummy freshman field. So we're doing a drill where I just have to get down in my stance, and I go put my hand down in the grass, but it wasn't really grass. My right hand, I can still picture it, goes into like a sticker bush. And so stickers get in my fingers. And I didn't come up out of my stance. I just kind of pulled my hand back. I didn't even, maybe I inhaled, but I didn't say anything. I just went. And Coach Leo DeRocher just yells at me and says, "May, you sissy." Except he didn't say sissy. He said something worse than that. Now I wonder, guys in here, and maybe even girls, I don't know, how would you like to live with that as a label? Because I promise you, I made every effort to avoid getting that as a label. Whether it's right, whether it's wrong, I could tell you it's not fair, but that's not really the point. How would you like to be labeled something like that? Well, for those of you who are struggling with that kind of thing, who are afraid of getting labels, I mean middle schoolers, I mean people moving to high school, wherever you are in that, you know, new realm, got a little bit of information for you that everybody older than you, not everybody older than you, most of us older than you have come to realize when you get to junior high, when you get to high school, wherever it is you are going, people have already decided what cool looks like. You don't get to decide that. You don't get to decide what popular looks like. People have already determined that. So if you want that kind of label on you, you're probably going to feel the pressure to do the things that people have already decided fit that label. And that gets really tricky. You may see people who are cool, who are popular, but they didn't even decide what that looked like. They just tried to fit the mold that somebody else made. And the Bible says a little something about that. This guy Paul wrote these words. He told us, "Do not be conformed to this world." And that's exactly what happens when you try to fit the mold of what somebody else decided was cool, was popular, was hot. However you were going to dress and talk and act. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That by testing you may discern, that means figure out, understand, what is the will of God, what God wants for your life. And then he even goes on to say what God wants for your life. He said that will, that desire of God is good and it's acceptable and it's even perfect. And when we don't let ourselves be conformed by whatever junior high or high school or wherever it is you are, what they say you should be, not trying to fit into that mold, but instead trying to be transformed by what God wants, we can discover what is good and perfect. And isn't that better than those little labels that you probably aren't ever going to succeed in getting put on you? So I have homework for you. I'd like you to consider this question, these questions, what are the labels that people either have tried to put on you or are still trying to put on you now. And think about where they came from. And then we're going to come back to our question before. Who has the right to label you? I think we know the answer, right? Only God has the right to label you. And why? Because God made you. Your parents gave birth to you, but God knit you together in your mother's womb. God made you. God owns you. And God owns you because He bought you. The Bible uses a word like redeemed. He bought you back. He paid His very blood, His very life, to buy you back from sin that you had committed, that I had committed, from a destination that we had made for ourselves, separation from God. But He bought us back from that, and that means He is our owner. He is the one who gets to label us. And how does God label us? Not bitey, not loser, not dweeb or dork or any of the other labels that we tend to put on people. Isaiah puts it, I think, so beautifully here. He says this. This is God, actually. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's your label. That's a better label than we could have possibly hoped for ourselves. You are a child of God. That is your very identity. And that's my prayer for you today, is that whatever somebody tries to slap on you, whatever kind of label somebody tries to give you, you will recognize you didn't make me. You don't own me. You didn't redeem me. You didn't buy me. You have no right to label me. And so I'm not going to accept that label at all. The one who made me, the one who owns me, the one who bought me back, He has already put a label on me and calls me His child. And that trumps, that is more important than anything anybody else can give me. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we thank You. We thank You that You made us and gave us a chance for life. And as amazing as that is, You didn't just set us free to our own devices. We ran with that freedom. And yet You called us back and You redeemed us. You saved us. And while You could label us as sinners, and that's true, You don't do that. You say, we are loved by You. And that's an incredible label. And You can put another one on that says, we're forgiven. And Father, we thank You for that. And we thank You that You have even called us to amazing works, to things that You have already set in place for us to do. And You've brought us alongside and said, I have a plan and You're part of that plan, so work with me. We're like partners. So many amazing labels that You've put on us, God. And we don't even get to say, I'm not worthy of that, because You've said You are worthy because I made You worthy. Help us to own that, Father. Help us to live that way. Because if You said it, then it is true. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.